Okay, it's time to come back to order, kids. Would somebody would somebody please tell the people in the hall to come in? Okay, I'm calling this meeting back to order. Okay, so while we are in public session, we will have time to have some discussion about the process of the surveys, and then if we decide we want to discuss the actual content of the surveys, then we'll go into private closed session. Okay, so does someone from the committee want to talk?
Yeah,
Sasha.
I think I'll start with the beginning part of the process, and then Mal can discuss the more recent part of the process. And I'm really sorry. I wish all the people who spoke were here, but it looks like maybe they're wandering back in again, because I heard some what I would consider to be misinformation about things. So the committee met, first of all, and decided that we would basically accept the process and the surveys as used a number of times over in the more recent past. And that was to have one survey that goes to LSB members and another one that is somewhat different because staff's relationship and information from the staff about the general manager, the person who supervises them, for instance, directly, would be different than our relationship as board members. And so there was a survey for staff directly supervised by the general manager, the interim general manager. And then another one that went out to each program that is on the air, with everybody who works on that program supposed to collaborate together, and it's one survey per program. And one of the things that I in particular noticed, so you can all blame me for this, was that I felt that the past process, and this is the only deviation, we used the same surveys that have been used in the past, and the process, as I said, in terms of who was surveyed, is no different than it has been over the years. So nothing new was done, contrary to what you might have heard. But the surveys for staff in the past have been left in open mailboxes, which are, you know, a few feet from where you enter the station. And as a board member, I have been privy to stories about people and what they do with mailboxes who are on this board in the middle of the night. And I did not feel that that was a secure place to leave surveys. Because if I wanted to, knowing what night we were stuffing that, I could go and pull out some surveys and fill it out myself and pretend I belonged to a show. So it didn't seem to me to be a very secure format. And so trying to make this a little bit more secure and making sure staff actually working on a show would be the ones who were actually responding to the survey, we switched to doing this online. And initially, I asked the IGM for a list of the programs and a contact email for each show. And I was told to go to the interim program director for that, and I did. And she told me she would put such a list together and asked for 2 weeks, and I immediately agreed, although I was kind of shocked that the program director would not have a list of all the shows on the air and a contact email for each of those shows. I thought that would be something that the station had to have. Seems reasonable to me. You have to contact people for staff meetings. You have to contact people if, for instance, you decide to do an Occupy Oakland day and want to switch what's on the air. There are all sorts of reasons why you have to contact your staff of programs, so it seems to me reasonable to expect the management to actually have a list of programs and a contact person. But okay, I was perfectly willing to wait 2 weeks. And when the 2 weeks expired and I didn't hear from her, I called and both emailed her. And finally, after a day or so of not hearing back, I went to the station and learned that the day before she had left for a month for her daughter's wedding in India. Now, it was her choice of deadline, not mine. And then when I emailed the interim general manager about this, and this is an email, by the way, that was shared with all members of this board this week, he basically said, no, we're not allowed to give that information out to you except by an act of the Pacifica National Board. So we were left having to construct a list of the programs and the email addresses on our own, which we did. And it turns out the KPFA website has mistakes on it. Some of them are very old email addresses. Some of them are people who are no longer affiliated with the show. But actually, we did everything in our power to do this survey fairly and get as much input from staff as we could. I did get a list. I confirmed a list with the IGM of the direct staff, and they all got a list. The board all got a list. And here we are. And Mal can talk a little bit further about some of the elements of the process of, because he's the one who set it up through SurveyMonkey, which was the surveying tool that we used.
Watch the scones. So we used SurveyMonkey to set up the survey. And as you all know on the board, I didn't get it right for the programs. I missed 15 or so when I set up the list. The other programs we got, relying on the station's website for the email addresses. And we got a response of about 40% of the programs that were surveyed. When I learned on Sunday that I had screwed it up and left out programs, I sent out a new survey Sunday night, and that's still open. There are 16 programs on that list, and we'll see what response we get.
Okay, now I'm a little bit in a quandary because Robert's Rules of Order says that ordinarily you're not supposed to have discussion unless there's a motion on the floor, unless the body votes to suspend the rules. Yeah, Mal.
Well, I would like to move that we
use the mic.
I move that we put off the substantive discussion and decision on the evaluation to the January meeting.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to put off the substantive discussion and the on the evaluation until the January meeting, which I will remind you is going to be on January 7th. Okay, so now that motion is on the floor and discussion is appropriate. Jack.
pardon me. I was a member of that committee, of the IGM Evaluation Committee. And what I would like to do is to confirm the following points that Sasha made, Sasha as being chair of that committee. We resolved in the first place to have an evaluation process that was no different than the evaluation processes that had happened in the past number of years. Who was to be surveyed? What kind of survey instrument was to be used? The only difference was that we were planning on doing it electronically rather than by stuffing mailboxes. In the interim, between the time that we made this decision and when the decision was implemented, the issue of each and every staff member, paid and unpaid, having an opportunity to personally participate in the survey came up both on email and at the last LSB meeting. Now, personally, I believe that there is merit to doing it that way. And perhaps the next time that and a general manager is evaluated, we should devise a way of doing that kind of inclusivity. However, I want to emphasize that we did nothing different except for how the instrument was to be conveyed electronically rather than box stuffing than had been done in the past number of evaluation processes. So I want to express puzzlement and regret that we have been accused of being undemocratic and uninclusive in the way that we have attempted to conduct this evaluation.
Okay. I want to remind people that we are on a three-minute time limit. I saw hands Andrea Pritchett and Tracy Rosenberg. Is there anyone else? Andrea, go ahead.
I guess overall what comes across to me in this process is one, I wish it had sort of been thought through and that there'd kind of been a written plan for how it would be conducted and that maybe it had been thought through more because it feels like it's a little catch-as-catch-can right now. But I also feel like there's sort of this kind of mean-spiritedness about it and this sort of exclusivity that I think when you're taking a survey, you want folks to feel like their input really is wanted, like it really matters. You know, that the time that you take to fill out this survey is going to be helpful. We really appreciate it. We want your input. And I read the intro to the staff, and it seemed kind of abrupt, and it didn't really clearly say how this information was going to be used. When I think of myself, if I was a volunteer on a program with four or five other people, I really have a hard time imagining us all kind of crowded around the table going through questions 1 through 14 going, hey, guys, how do you feel about one? Oh, we disagree. Gosh, we only get one vote. How do we split it? You know, votes are free in this world. You know, we can make as much input as we want to. And I also feel the same way about written comments. I don't understand how the committee intends to receive people's written comments. And it feels like we've taken a whole lot more time kind of thinking about how we're not going to take people's input rather than how we might better accommodate people's desire to be heard. And so I guess I am left with the impression that really what this evaluation is sort of a way of kind of sort of crucifying. And it feels really, I'm sorry, Pamela, it feels to me, this is one person speaking, and I won't interrupt you when you speak. It feels really biased to me. And you guys can laugh at me or whatever you want to do. I don't see what it hurts to hear everyone who wants to be heard. And I wish that the committee would really consider a way to receive people's written comments. I also feel that it's true that very few of us on the LSB have direct day-to-day contact with the interim general manager. And yet somehow our votes are more heavily weighted than volunteers who show up there daily or weekly, and yet they've been relegated to the margins. It feels really unfair and inaccurate, and it really makes me, this whole process, very suspect in my mind.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Hold on a second. I didn't interrupt Andrea, but I want to point out that what we're supposed to be discussing, the issue before us, is the motion made by Mal Bernstein that we put off the substantive discussion of the evaluation until January, so that everyone who has now been sent a survey will have an opportunity to respond.
Then I guess I would support that motion, but I would also like to I'll amend that motion then.
Hold on a second. Okay, so I'll put you, Andrea, I'll put you on the list for a second time. Let's go through the people who want to speak first, and then. But I just want to remind people that that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the motion. Tracy.
I'm supporting the motion, and I hope that we'll pass it forthwith and then adjourn. But since I tend to be kind of data-driven, I just wanted to read into the record what after reviewing the data that was sent, the list of programs that didn't get a survey or that didn't respond to the surveys that they were sent. I think I can do it in 3 minutes if I talk really fast. Here we go. A musical offering about health, Across the Great Divide, Apex Express, Bajaba, Bay Native Circle, Blues by the Bay, Brazilian Music with Adalia, cover to cover, Richard Wolinsky, at least as far as I can see, Crack of Dawn, Discreet Music, Friday Night Vibe, In Your Ear, Off the Beaten Path, Radio Chronicles, Roots Communications, Setting the Standard with Pedro Reyes, Transitions on Traditions, Twitwits, No Other Radio Network, Terra Verde, Music of the World Tuesdays with Jose Ruiz, Music of the World Fridays with David McBurney, Morning Mix Monday, Thursday, and Friday, Cover to Cover with Jennifer Stone, and Reggae Express, 26 programs by my count. Those who were sent surveys but have not yet responded to them, I guess because they didn't have time, Night Magic, Cover to Cover with Denny Smithson, Cover to Cover with Jack Foley, Flashpoints, Over the Edge, History of Funk, Music of the World Friday with David McBurney, Ritmo de las Americas, Pushing Limits, Pig in a Pen, Panhandle Country, Sing Out, Hard Knock Radio, La Onda Baita, Music of the World Thursdays with Stephen Kent, and the Women's Magazine. Total of some 44 programs, I believe. The current survey that we have has 24 programs, so more than twice.
Okay. I'll put you on the list. Okay, so Sasha.
Is Mal next on the stack?
No, he's already.
After me?
Oh.
Is he after me?
No, I just added him at the end of the list. Oh. I was saying he was the second time speaker, but I don't think that's right because he just made.
I am a second time speaker, so.
Yes, I know you are.
But I was making
a
report. I don't know.
No, that doesn't count. You spoke before Mal made the motion. I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep this straight. Okay, so you're all right.
So unfortunately, right now I can't take notes easily, so I have to do all this just remembering comments. Mean-spirited. I think those were a couple of words that I heard.
I just want to, once again, I want to remind people to speak to the motion. The motion is that we, okay?
I'll try to.
Please, try really hard.
Well, the motion is to put this off until the January meeting,
right.
And I am in absolute agreement with that because the committee has, those of us working on the committee, by the way, there were 5 members to the committee and not all of them, well, one of them never attended a meeting at all. That's Tracy. But our intent always was to be as inclusive.
I want to remind people to try and avoid calling people out by name and to please stick to the question.
Okay. Our intent always, I will repeat, was to be as inclusive as possible. And in fact, the change to an email and online format was to make certain that each program actually was contacted and received a survey. And I would like to say that there were some who worked against that process incredibly. And I feel that those voices are still being raised in an antagonistic way against the work of this committee and how they feel it was and their thing about the spirit of the motion and so forth, emotions about the whole thing that are not based on fact at all. And I think we did this in a very businesslike way, that an error was made and a few programs were omitted was something that was realized and immediately upon realizing it, corrected.
Thank you, Sasha. So I have the people I have on the list are Khan, Andrea Turner, and Mal Bernstein, and then and Sharam Agamir, and then speaking for a second time is Andrea Pritchett. Is there anyone who's?
I didn't raise my hand.
I'll take the second time.
Oh, all right. All right, Tracy, on the second time. Is there anyone on the board who hasn't spoken for a first time who would like to speak? Anthony. Okay.
Let me...
I know, you're on the list.
May I clarify something, Madam Chair? I'm not speaking to the motion, but I would like to speak to the process, so I can wait till we've dealt with the motion.
Okay, thank you. Right now we're talking about the motion, and I really want people, you have to start off by saying either that you support the motion or that you're against the motion, and then let's, you know, that really that's what it is, and we can come to a vote on this motion, and then if somebody makes another motion, we can talk about that one, but we have to, we really need to stick to the discussion on the motion right now. This is, oh, okay. So Andrea's next on the list. Okay, go ahead. Give her a microphone.
Just a point of inquiry. I'd like to know, do we have all of the programs now that Tracy has talked about, these 26 programs?
We have all of the programs that are on the KPFA website. We have them all.
Okay, and that includes whatever?
No, it does not include the programs that she read, because some of those have answered already, and some of them are not on the KPFA list or are on the list in other ways, and Tracy decided to add them even though they're there and other way, and so
No crosstalk. Okay, thank you, Andrea.
Her comment is just nonsense.
Okay, Mal, please. Did you get your question answered?
Yeah, somewhat. I really do need to know. I mean, do we have who we need to interview? To fill out the survey.
Yes. Okay.
To do the survey. Yeah.
Okay, so my understanding of the situation is that the committee took the email addresses from the KPFA website. Mal explained that he overlooked a group of about 15 or 16. He has now sent surveys to those programs, and the committee is awaiting their responses.
And we don't have to worry about the ones that Tracy is talking about?
Well, I don't, you know.
I worry about them.
I don't think that's relevant to the discussion right now, okay? What we're talking about now is the motion to put the discussion off till January. Okay, Con.
Hold the question.
Six people on the stack.
The question on the floor is whether we put the discussion off to January. The rest of this stuff is irrelevant.
Yeah. Right.
That's the motion on the floor.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to make my amendment then.
Okay, so I'd point out that in order to close discussion before every member of the body has had an opportunity to speak twice on the question requires a two-thirds vote.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I point out, no one has talked on the question. That's right. And so,
I think you're right about that.
If it needs a two-thirds and it gets defeated, I wish the chair to stop anyone that doesn't address the question before us, which is, are we putting this off until January, period?
Okay. The question before us is, are we putting off the substantive discussion about the evaluation until January? If anyone who I call on speaks to anything other than that question, I'm going to rule them out of order. I'm sorry about that, but that's the way it works. Okay, so on the list, I have Mal. Yes?
I did call the question.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. We have to have a vote. We have to have a vote.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor of calling the question means that we come to a vote. Now, without hearing from the people who are on the list, the people on the list are Mal Bernstein, Shram Agamir, Anthony Fest, and Tracy Rosenberg, who are each one of them going to speak to the question of... Oh, no, Anthony took himself off the list because he didn't want to talk about that.
I'm off, too.
Okay, Mal's off, too. All right. So the only question before us is whether or not we're going to put this vote off, the vote on the substantive issue off to the January meeting. If you pass this motion by a two-thirds, we will come to an immediate vote. All right? All those in favor of closing debate, please raise your hands.
No, you guys don't. I have an amendment.
Great. Okay.
I have an amendment. I told the chair about that earlier.
Got both her arms in the air.
Okay. Everybody stands up. Who's voting?
Thank you.
Okay.
This takes two-thirds.
Yeah, but I want to make it. I want to say it one more time.
Yeah, so it failed. Okay, so the motion to close debate failed. I will remind people Okay, I'm going to call on people on the list. You must speak to the motion that on the floor. Sharam.
May I come after?
Okay, Andrea.
I have an amendment I would like to propose.
Go ahead. I would ask you that.
And it does relate to the main motion.
Huh? Yeah.
Of course, I mean.
No. All I want to ask you to do is write out your amendment.
It's written.
Okay, and give it to the secretary when you're done. Okay, go ahead.
During that time, until the January meeting, we encourage and allow written comments from volunteers who want to contribute input to the GM evaluation process. These comments shall be made available to the LSP.
All right, the amendment's on the floor. Is there a second to the amendment? Okay. We are now discussing the amendment. Okay? Andrea, before we discuss it, you may motivate it, please.
I want to ask you guys who work at the station, do you think it's true that there are volunteers at the station who spend more time collaborating with and working with the general manager than members of this board? Do you feel that they have a right to be heard by us? Do you think it's possible that some volunteers have been excluded from this process? I believe that when I look at the SurveyMonkey survey, I don't think it really captures the spirit of what it means to even be working in this kind of a project. And I would hope that the staff members would at least support the right and the opportunity of other people who for no compensation, who give so much of their time, to at least be heard, to at least be acknowledged for their work and provided with the respect of being heard. And so I'm asking especially those people who work at the station to help in this effort. So I don't care if it's putting a box, a secure lock box with, you know, whatever, video surveillance and so forth, so it doesn't get stuffed. But let people write what they say. This is not an election, and it's being treated like an election, and it's not. And what I fear in this process is that we'll lose the spirit of what it means to evaluate. We're far from geniuses at this table. We're not able to quantify, you know, what it means to get a 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 on question number 6. You know, and does that weigh more heavily against somebody's 10 years at the station versus somebody? Yeah, of course we can't. We're looking for the spirit. And what we're trying to do is see, is it worth it to hire a whole new person and to go through this madness one more time? Or is it good enough? Is he even good enough? Does he provide enough stability? Is that possible? So that's what I'm asking folks to do, to really listen deeply with love and respect and not turn this into a number-crunching, partisan, bickering game.
Okay. Speakers on the amendment. First of all, does everybody understand the amendment? Andrea, did you give the written copy to Craig, please? Okay. All right. Speakers on the amendment. Jack and then Sharam.
Microphone. Pick up the microphone, please.
Andrea,
Yeah. Chair? Why are you?
This didn't work out last time.
I know.
No.
Jack, no. If you have a question, you have to address
okay,
it to the chair.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
I want to make sure first of the wording of the amendment.
All right, I'll ask Craig to read it back. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the amendment is, until the January meeting, we encourage and allow written comments from volunteers who want to contribute input to the general manager evaluation. These comments shall be made available to the LSB.
Okay. I would ask the chair to find out whether Andrea would accept as a friendly variation on that, instead of volunteers, all staff.
Andrea? I'm asking you, is that acceptable to you in to replace the word volunteer with all staff?
Paid and unpaid.
Paid and unpaid. I'm trying to figure out who's getting excluded. Anything, who all volunteers around here? Somebody doing something with the phone?
Hold on. Andrea has to. I'm going to ask Andrea to answer this question before we go on. Jack said paid and unpaid.
All staff, paid and unpaid. That includes.
Hold on.
I think if he wants to make a separate amendment, and here's why. Because I do believe that there's people, for example, who work in other capacities to support, who work with him in the project that are not necessarily programmers. But I guess, I don't know if they're considered staff, if they're unpaid staff. I'm not sure about how it's categorized.
I haven't been around here very long, but my understanding is that the term staff, paid and unpaid, means everybody. It refers to people who volunteer, who come in, who, you know, help in the phone room and who do board ops. Oh, not the phone room. Okay, board ops and people who help with other kinds of things. What about the people who helped with the inventory?
No, not the inventory phone room people.
Okay, not the inventory phone room people, says Tracy. So I don't know if you intended to include those people, but they're not included.
Or the volunteer reception or the craft fair. There's a standard set of rules that relate to who gets to vote as a member of the unpaid page.
So now we've got a new committee doing funds and Andrea.
Okay. Well, no, that's all right, Pam. All right. Andrea, you can reject it. It's fine. It's up to you. Whatever you want to do so we can move forward.
I'll take it.
Okay, so you're replacing the word volunteer with paid and unpaid staff, or staff, paid and unpaid. Okay, thank you. All right, we're still discussing the amendment. I have Sharam.
Actually, I support the amendment to the motion. That was the sentiment that was overwhelming in the unpaid staff organization meeting last night, and it was well attended, actually, unlike some of the other meetings we have had in the recent past. So that sentiment was very clear. I think there was one person who actually was opposed it out of, I don't know, a group of maybe 30-something people and maybe a little less than that. I mean, the meeting sort of went on till close to 9 o'clock. It was about an hour and 45 minutes, so people came and went afterwards. So I support that amendment. And I think one thing, and I want to say this, why it's important. My recollection is in the old surveys, we used to actually be able to make comments, not just mark a box, you know. And maybe I'm mistaken, but and I think it's important for people to be able to say what is on their mind, give actual examples, you know, give a little narrative if they want, you know. I think those are important as opposed to some numbers, because, you know, I think the impression people were getting is almost. By marking these things and these numbers, it's almost as if you're trying to vote as opposed to express your views. And that was I'm telling you what I heard in the meeting last night, and there were a lot of people who were echoing that sentiment. So in that spirit, I support the amendment to the motion.
Okay, thank you. I have a question, which is about implementation. It seems to me that if this motion passes, we need to have a place where people can send their comments. Should that be done electronically, or
written
on paper? I don't know what. Do you have Mal? Do you have a suggestion? Here.
I have a discussion if I'm allowed.
Oh, yeah, sure. You're allowed discussion.
I think we need to recall what it is we're doing. The bylaws provide that the LSB should evaluate the performance of the manager yearly. It does not call for a popularity survey of anyone associated with the station. We have a fairly complicated but specific duty to perform. In doing so, we have been collecting anonymously the input of staff. This amendment or substitute would open the doors to anybody who has any opinion about the manager, but no particular familiarity with what he's doing in any specific area. It is contrary to the whole concept of the evaluation of his job performance in these specific areas. And if we're going to allow general comments, are they going to be specifically identified with people, unlike the survey now? And if they're not, how are we to evaluate whether the person doing the comment has any basis upon which to express an opinion? It seems to me totally unworkable, and I urge you to oppose it.
Is there any further discussion on the amendment?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Sasha.
I really want to second what Mal has just said. And this is not a popularity contest. It's not to see which side of which faction can bring out more people who may or may not know anything to express their opinion, blah-de-blah, blah, blah, and have agitated up a storm of, my God, they're doing this dishonestly, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we've been called Tammany Hall this week in email and all kinds of other things. I mean, this is absurd. This is, yeah, we've been crucified. This is not that kind of thing. This is the board's responsibility to hire and evaluate and maybe even make a recommendation to get rid of the chief management of the station. It is not a popularity contest for listeners. I know you may find that offensive. I don't care whether you like him on the air. I don't care whether he led a march 20 years ago. I don't care. I care how he manages the station. And as a part of that, this board has elected to get feedback from staff. And I think we should take that seriously from real staff. Because if you think someone can manage a station by caveat, if the staff is not happy, I've got news for you. You're setting things up for a serious problem. So stop playing games with this, please. And it's also a little late in this process. We have been reporting on this month after month, and suddenly you want to turn the process of how this evaluation is done on its ear? Please.
Okay.
And add comments that nobody can evaluate or quantify, and we don't know where they're coming from. They could come from your 10 best friends that you brought in, for all I know.
Okay. The people on the list are Tracy, David, and Sharam wants to speak for a second time. Is there anybody on the board who hasn't spoken for a first time who'd like to speak? Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Well, this is a little klutzy. There were some things I wanted to say about the process as a whole from the earlier conversation, but I think I'm just going to talk about
you have to
the
talk
amendment
about the
particular.
Amendment,
okay.
Or I have to rule you out of order.
I know, so I'm going okay. to.
Thank
if
you.
We get to a process conversation, there's still some things left over.
Well, maybe we will. Let's
All
see.
Right. Okay, the amendment. I support the amendment. I want to point out that somehow, amazingly enough, different GM evaluation committees took comments from every program contact before and put them in a spreadsheet. You can talk to Brian Edwards Tickert about the mechanics of it if you wish. He was on, I think, both of the committees that evaluated Lem Regio. The world didn't come to an end. Seemed like it was an achievable process. My recollection, actually, is there was a far higher response rate on both of those surveys and less complaints about people not receiving surveys or surveys not being sent. So my guess is that this is not as incredibly hard to implement as is perhaps being implied. Comments are good. There is no such thing as a distinction between real staff and fake staff. All of the staff who work at the station have different perspectives and experiences, and all of those should be listened to by any board that's trying to do a responsible job of evaluating someone's job performance. I don't work with the general manager. I really don't know what the heck is going on at the station most of the time. I'm probably over there twice a month at best. I really would like to read the comments of the people that are there 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 times a week. I mean, I have social relationships with some of them, so they tell me things. But I'd certainly like to read, because there are 215 unpaid staff affiliated with the station working at least 30 hours in the past 3 months, as well as, I guess, about 35 paid staff. That's a lot of people. I don't know them all, and I don't know what they think. If they want to tell me, it doesn't seem like I should put up all these impediments to reading what they have to say.
Okay, David.
I'm just not sure whether I support it or oppose it, because Sasha makes some good points. But I tend to think that there's no downside to having more information rather than less information. And opening up a channel for everybody to make a comment can't really be a bad thing. There might be some useful information in there. If it's just simple statement, you know, if it's just rah, rah, Andrew Phillips, or no, no, Andrew Phillips, then that's a piece of information that can be passed along or ignored. But if there's something of substance received in that process, I don't see it as a bad thing. So I think in general I would support the amendment.
Okay. Sharam, this is your second time. Oh, let me ask, is there anybody on the board who hasn't spoken for the first time who'd like to speak on this? Go ahead, Sharam.
Okay, I think part of the problem with this thing, first let me tell you this. Mal's point, I find it plausible. It's a challenge to find the right mechanics to solicit, certify the authenticity of these comments that we get. I think we need to think about that, and I agree with you 100% on that. That said, that's a challenge we need to, you know, we need to face, and we need to find a common solution for it. That said, I find it rather, maybe it's not related to this motion, but I'm somewhat bewildered by this rush into, why did we come up with this? Maybe I missed something. Did this December deadline? If the fellow is going to be reviewed once a year, his anniversary is coming up in March. What's the big rush? I don't get this thing. Why couldn't we wait, and make sure this process is done correctly? That's my question to everybody here. Think about it.
Okay.